And now, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, I am going to begin reading at verse 1. I do hope that you will be in prayer as the text is being read, and as you perhaps read along in your Bible. And I hope that you'll be in prayer as the message goes forth, that God's blessings would rest upon it. I'm going to ask you to pause with me in a moment of prayer before we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Our Father, we ask again that as our Bibles are opened before us, that the Holy Spirit might open the door of our hearts and minds, that we might graciously receive the word that thou hast written to us. May we know that thy word is timeless and that its truth endureth to all generations, and that those things which have been written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Help us, we pray, not only to hear, but to heed thy word. And remind us of what thy Son has reminded us of, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And dear God, for that one who is unsettled in mind and heart, for that one who has not the assurance of his or her salvation, for that one, Heavenly Father, whose soul trembles in thy presence tonight, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit might quicken them and energize them and assure them of thy presence. As we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. I hope that you will follow along in 2 Timothy chapter 1 as we read these verses beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Now listen to Paul's philosophy about this. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know, and I want you to look between that word know and whom and see if you see anything. A lot of people read that verse, I know in whom I have believed. Somebody said, don't dare even put a preposition between me and the Lord. I know whom I have believed. Paul is saying, I know Christ. I know whom I have believed. And I think perhaps that he is able, oh wait just a moment. These lights are a little bit brighter than I'm used to, and I almost read that the wrong way. I didn't know it was in the book like that. Look at it again. And am persuaded, that's a strong word, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. One word that should never be in the vocabulary of a Christian regarding his relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ is the word perhaps. Paul never used the word perhaps when he was talking about his relationship to God and his salvation made possible through Jesus Christ. My message to you tonight is simply this: I know. First, I know that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, there are those in the world who say, we can't know in this life now whether or not we're saved. And I've heard people pray, and in good meaning, I'm sure, and Lord, save us all at last. I don't want that kind of last minute salvation. For I am convinced that my soul is just as much saved right now, 27 minutes after 7, 1969, February the 9th, as it will ever be after I've been in heaven 10 million years. Now this body that carries my soul around lacks a whole lot being redeemed, and so does yours. But Paul says we are waiting for the redemption of the body, and that's going to take place just like that. Much quicker than that. Our scientifically oriented brother back there told us the other night about how the atoms change. But God is going to change us much quicker than that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad that I know tonight that I'm saved. It's strange. You ask some people, you saved? Well, I think so. Now, what would you think about a man if you said, are you married? He said, well, I think so. He has a wife and 5 or 6 kids. I think so. That's rather ridiculous, isn't it? not any more ridiculous. Not any more ridiculous than for a man who has done what God said do to say, well, I think I'm saved or I hope I'm saved. Beloved, I have something in my soul tonight that I know about. And I wouldn't thank an angel from heaven to come and stand on this platform and tell me I'm saved because I already know it. I'm sure that those who do not have that assurance must be miserable lots. And I don't believe that they drank from the same fountain that I drank from. I don't believe that they ate the same manna from heaven that I've eaten. I don't believe that they knelt at the same spot that I knelt. If they do not have the assurance in their soul that live or die, sink or swim, survive or perish, I'm saved by the grace of Almighty God. Well, that's enough to make a foot washer shout. To know beyond any doubt that we are saved. Saved by the marvelous grace of our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can know it. With the poet we can say, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. We can know that we know that we know that we're saved. How can we know it? Well, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, John writes to us and says, he that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. Did you get that? He that believeth on the Son, that is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not, and this is a strong accusation, he that believeth not has made God a liar. That's what the book says. Why? Because he hath not believed the record that God gave of his Son. What is the record, preacher? John says this is the record. That God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And listen to verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that you might think. No. That you might hope. No. These things have I written unto you that ye might know that you have eternal life. That you might know that you have eternal life. There are a whole lot of things that I don't know. It'll take me a long time to tell you about them. But this one thing I do know, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I read in my text what Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And you know, there's a man in the New Testament in John chapter 9 who was born blind. And the different ones said to Jesus, this man who was born blind, did he sin or did his parents sin? Jesus said, neither. That's not the reason he's blind, but that God might be glorified. And this man came to Jesus and Jesus healed him of his blindness. And the man went on about his business, and the Pharisees, trying to trip him up, said, by the way, who was it who told you could see again? Well, a man named Jesus. Oh, they said, that man's a sinner. Read it in John 9. The Pharisees said, that man is a sinner. We are Moses' disciples. You are his, but he's a sinner. You know what that man said? Whether he be a sinner or not, I do not know, but this one thing I do know, wherein I was blind, I now see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Somehow I believe the first stanza of Amazing Grace was written right there. The man said, I don't know anything about it except one thing. I know that I used to be blind, and now I can see. I know I used to be lost, but now I'm saved. And I don't worry about how it's transacted because I can't understand it. I don't worry about anything that God does. I just believe what He says. And he that believeth is not ashamed, is not condemned, shall not be confounded. I know that I'm saved because Paul says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know it because in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I know it because I was there when it happened. And I ought to know, if anybody does, that something happened that day that I've never gotten over. When I prayed the sinner's prayer, when I asked God to be merciful to me, a sinner, when I opened the door of my heart and said to the Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. He came in, and He lives within tonight. This I know that I have eternal life. There's something else I know. I know that God has a purpose in everything that He does. Don't ever in your own heart or mind question God's will and God's wisdom, because He never makes a mistake. And whatever the Lord doeth, He doeth it well. The wise Solomon says, nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. We know, according to Romans 8:28, and we know, there's that word no again. No perhaps, no maybe, no peradventure, no if. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You say, but preacher, I just don't quite understand it. Neither do I. I don't try to understand it. If I understood it, faith would go out the window. But I believe it. Do you mean to tell me, preacher, that everything is good? No, I didn't say that. And this book doesn't say that. Paul did not say that everything that happens is good. We know better than that. But Paul said all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. Work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We've used this simple illustration so many times. But if you go into the kitchen cabinet at home and take out just a pinch of flour and put it on your tongue, it doesn't taste good by itself. Or baking soda or shortening. But if you put all of these ingredients together and add whatever else is necessary and put those products in the oven and let them bake the required time, when they come out of the oven, a finished product, everything has worked for the good of your appetite. You see what I mean? The good things in life, the bad things. The bitter things, the sweet things. The things that we wonder about and the things that we don't have to wonder about at all. All things. You say, preacher, do you mean that we can apply this to the hour of death? Yes, we can. You mean for me to give up my loved one is the best thing for me? You don't understand it now, but in the sweet by and by you will. Don't try to understand it now, just believe it now. Because sometimes life can be worse than death. You mean for separation to come among my family? Is there anything good that can come out of that? Well, you don't see it today, because you're down in the valley. But thanks be unto God, wherever there's a valley, there's a mountaintop. And when you go through the valley and get out on the mountaintop and look back, you'll see that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. This is true in nations. God has a purpose in every nation. He had a purpose in Israel. They failed many times miserably. God punished them. I believe it's true with our nation tonight that God has a purpose in our nation existing. It's no accident that we have communications, and that we have all kinds of things that we can use to carry the gospel around the world, radio, television, newspaper, print, everything. This is no accident that God has raised up this nation. But you know what? Our nation has failed in the purpose that God put us here for. And it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, the country sure is going to the dogs. How much are we contributing to them? See what I mean? What are we doing to save the country? I tell you what, the country is going in the same direction we're going. Put it down. This country, this nation, the youth of this country. And I thank God for a wonderful, dedicated youth director. And for the youth leaders of our church. They're leading the young people in the right way. But I tell you, if the youth go the wrong way, it's going to be the adults' faults. They're going to follow our footsteps. They're going to think as we think and do as we do. God help us to realize that tonight more than we've ever realized it before. God has a purpose in the nation. God has a purpose in this church. And just as the nation goes like we go, basically, the church is going to go in the same direction we go. If we go up, the church goes up. If we go down, the church goes down. If we go out on Tuesday night and other nights and other days, the church will go out. And we cannot survive as an island and cut ourselves off from the world. This church cannot survive within the four walls of this sanctuary. We must go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. As goes the members, the pastor, the people together, so goes the church. And God has a purpose in our lives, individually, as well as the nation, as well as the church. And we know in the light of God's word that everything that happens is for a purpose. And it's working together for our own good. It might seem awful bitter today, but God knows how to sweeten it tomorrow. It may seem a blind alley today, but God will give you light tomorrow. He'll show you the way. Trust Him for it. We know that God has a purpose in all things that He does. There's something else. I know that Jesus Christ is coming again. The world is full of signs that portray and point to His coming. The blessed book, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Did you get that word? But we know that when He doth appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. And we know that when He comes again, when He appears, we shall be like Him. It's the Christian's joy to be like Him. It's the Christian's greater joy to be with Him. And we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All right, we know that He's coming because the angel said He was coming in Acts chapter 1. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus which ye see taken away from you into the heavens shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. But I'm glad I have more than that. I have more than the word of John, the beloved apostle. I have more than the word of the angel. I have His word. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I know He's coming, And I can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter day, his feet shall stand upon the earth. And though after this skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. Oh Lord, how long ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When he comes, he's going to do one of two things for you and for me as believers. One, he's either going to raise us up or catch us up. If we die in the faith, he's going to raise us up. If we're living, he's going to catch us up. And I sort of feel like the old Scotchman when they said to him, John, death is very close. And he said, so what? If I live, he'll be with me. If I die, I'll be with him. He's coming back again, and this I know, because the blessed old book said he's going to do just that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, woman, boy, and girl, that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Mister, do you have that hope tonight? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that Jesus is coming for you? You can know it before you leave this house tonight. If you'll, by simple childlike faith, call upon the Lord, he'll give you that assurance. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. This I know. This I know. This I know. Let us stand with our heads bowed for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank thee that we know in light of thy word that all things work together for our own good. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. Oh, may we have that hope within our hearts so strongly implanted that not even the devil in hell can disturb our faith and cause us to doubt. May we know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is ours and we're his and we're on the way to heaven. If we die, we know he'll raise us up from the grave. If we live when he comes, we know, Heavenly Father, that he'll catch us up and translate us to be like him. Help us to bank on that tonight. Help us to rely upon it. Help us to tell others about it. If there be one in this house who does not have that assurance, I pray, Heavenly Father, that thou wouldst not let that person go home, nor even leave this service until they know that all is well with their soul. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his sake.